Pat Malloy program. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. That's right, Brad of bradblog.com, your friendly citizen, investigative citizen, journalist, troublemaker, blogger, muckraker, all-around swell guy, says me. We're going to be talking with Dave Roberts from grist.org very shortly. Great environmental journalist. And golly, it's as if I timed it this way, in it. right at the top of the hour break there, got news breaking on AP here. The oil spill in the Gulf, the massive oil spill from the oil rig, the offshore oil rig that blew up, has now reached shore. It has reached the mouth of the Mississippi River. Reading from AP here, an oil spill that threatened to eclipse even the Exxon Valdez disaster spread out of control and started washing ashore along the Gulf Coast Thursday night as fishermen rushed to scoop up shrimp and crews spread floating barriers around the marshes. The spill was bigger than imagined, five times more than estimated, and closer. Fingers of oily sheen were reaching the Mississippi River Delta, lapping the Louisiana shoreline in long, thin lines. It's of grave concern, says David Kennedy of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA. I am frightened. This is a very, very big thing, and the efforts that are going to be required to do anything about it, especially if it continues on, are just mind-boggling. Yeah. They are. You know what else is mind-boggling? Just weeks ago, Barack Obama announced that he was going to end the moratorium on offshore drilling and continue more of this crap. Now, you know, every time I come on here, I know, you know, every day, hey, what are you doing? Beating up on the Democrats, beating up on Obama. We're calling him as we see him, guys. You can beat up on the Republicans all you want, but they ain't in power. They only think they are. The Democrats are in power. They only think they aren't. 877-99-MALLOY, 877-996-2556. We will take your calls, and we will have Dave Roberts to talk about this oil spill, the latest here, what the hell Barack Obama's going to do about it, and Lindsey Graham's hissy fit, where he has pulled the only Republican to work on climate change and clean energy legislation, the only one to work on it, and he's pulling his toys and going home if Harry Reid dares to bring up the immigration legislation in the Senate first, because Lindsey Graham is apparently now the majority leader somehow, even though he's a Republican. We will unwind that mess with Dave Roberts, and I will take your calls, 877-99-MALLOY. Let's go to Robert in Sam Clams Disco. Welcome to the show, Robert.
Hi, Brad. I really love you on the radio.
I appreciate it. Yeah, well, Peter B's going to be with us. I didn't announce. PBC's going to be with us coming up in the next hour. So,
oh, great.
Thank you. Yep.
You know, I wish he was still on Green 960 between 3 and 6. So.
Yeah,
Mike, I love listening to Mike, too. He's got a very great opening musical piece there. I really listened for that, the Pink Floyd piece. But, you know, up in the oil companies aren't responsible for these oil spills. They proved it in Alaska and Prince William Sound. I mean, there's a $5 billion charge against these guys. And they deliberately failed to have protection equipment close by, and the guy was drunk. So they get off that. Does anybody think they're not going to be held accountable for what happened down there in the Gulf? They should have had. I mean, I can't believe they didn't have some way to shut out that valve, remotely or otherwise. I mean, it's just going to devastate the whole area.
Yeah, and there were not only Robert, will there be no accountability, because you know, with the Exxon Valdez, it worked out great for them. I, you know, they made money on that deal. I think it was how many? Des, do you remember how many billion the Supreme Court unwound when it came to the Exxon Valdez award?
I think that it was $20 billion to start, and they unwound it down to half a billion.
$500 million is all that the Supreme Court decided that Exxon had to pay. Of course, BP is going to go through the same thing. Because
I heard they're making I heard they're making $15 billion a quarter.
Of course.
Now,
of course.
You look at Halliburton and the during Bush's time in office, and they want to go into Eurasia and take over that whole area for oil. I mean, Mike, what are we going to do about this?
Well, I know. What are we going to do about it? When are we going to demand that, you know, this climate legislation that they're talking about in the Senate is terrible? But it's the only thing we got. I mean, it's like the health insurance thing. You know, it was awful. It was a terrible bill. But it's the only thing we got. And it's the Democrats who are negotiating with themselves. It's the Democrats who are watering this thing down. If the Republicans were in power, I could yell about them not bringing this forward at all. But the fact that it's the Democrats, and they are, you know, they are turning out to be the corporatists. They're turning out the ones who are doing the favors for the oil companies and the health insurance companies and everybody else. So your question is a good one, Robert. What are we going to do about it?
Well, the real issue also is in Ecuador, there's 1,000 sites. They deliberately polluted a pristine environment at 10,000 feet. I mean, these guys, if they were in China, I honestly think they'd be taken out and shot. I feel that's what should be happening to these guys. They should at least lose their corporate lives.
I hear you, Robert. Good call. I appreciate it very much. Thanks for checking in. We were talking earlier about, well, one thing, by the way, that they're doing, if you don't know. They're setting the ocean on fire. This is their plan. I got to talk to Dave Roberts about this in a minute. They had to stop now because the winds have kicked up. But they are setting the oceans on fire. They're trying to burn it off. There was another plan that they were talking about, building a dome, that they can put a dome down on the bottom of the ocean over the oil, the cap, which is five times bigger than anybody thought. It's now... what is it? 5,000 barrels a day is now leaking. That's 210,000 gallons a day. So they're talking about putting a dome over this thing and then, you know, capping it off somehow that way. But it's going to take them time to build that dome. They didn't build it in advance. No, they didn't need to. They had these perfect plans for... light it on fire. That was the plan. Hey, Tony, do you have that Rush Limbaugh clip set up there? Here's what really happened. Rush Limbaugh gave us the skinny today. Now we know what really happened because, you know, this oil rig, it blew up on Earth Day. And, Rush Limbaugh will tell us who's behind all of this. Go ahead, Tony.
I want to get back to the timing of the blowing up, the explosion out there in the Gulf of Mexico of this oil rig.
Oh, good. He's
lest we forget, since they're sending SWAT teams down there now, this changes the whole perspective of this.
Oh, it changes everything. SWAT team. I'm going to ask David.
Now, lest we forget, ladies and gentlemen, the carbon tax bill, cap and trade, that was scheduled to be announced on Earth Day.
It's not a carbon tax, by the way.
And then it was postponed for a couple of days later, after Earth Day. Yep. And then, of course, the immigration has now moved in front of it.
Here's where Rush is making stuff up, thinking what he's going to say. Yeah. What about this bill, Rush?
The cap and trade bill was strongly criticized by hardcore environmentalist wackos because it supposedly allowed more offshore drilling and nuclear plants.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah, it's got it, isn't it, Rush?
So, since they're sending SWAT teams down there, folks, since they're sending SWAT teams to inspect the other rigs, what better way to head off more oil drilling, nuclear plants, than by blowing up a rig? I'm just noting the timing here.
Yeah? What? He's saying that it was the environmental wackos who blew up the oil rig in the Gulf. That was it. That was Russia's latest conspiracy theory. And he calls environmentalists wackos? Really, Rush? Are you kidding? I'm afraid you're not. And that's a shame. Actually, the bigger shame is that Obama and the Democrats allow nutballs like Rush Limbaugh to stay on the air on 600 stations around this country. And folks like Malloy, myself, Peter B., everybody else, we got to fight to say a word. I'm going to take a break here, come back with Dave Roberts very shortly here. You're listening to the Mike Malloy program. Brad, in for Mike, calling for accountability and now for clean energy. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Mike tonight. He will be back with you tomorrow. I am broadcasting tonight. Oh, it's a whole lot of green. I'm broadcasting tonight from lovely San Francisco, the great Green 960 up here. My first time broadcasting and broadcasting from here. I'm delighted to be here. Coming up momentarily, Dave Roberts of Grist.org, the great environmental journalist, is going to be talking to us. And at the top of the hour, at least if you're listening on Green 960 and other fine progressive stations around the country, you'll hear more Green and more Brad and Desi joining me for the Green News Report at the top of the hour. Sorry, that's a whole lot of Brad. What am I going to do? Okay, let me get to the oil is coming ashore now down in the Gulf Coast. We just got that breaking news from AP a few minutes ago. It could be worse than Exxon Valdez. Boy, from the New York Times. Scratch the awards luncheon for offshore drilling safety. BP, the oil company that contracted with the rig operator of the well that blew in the Gulf of Mexico last week, leaving three men injured and 11 men missing and presumed dead, was one of the finalists in the big company category for the Interior Department's Minerals Management Services Safety Awards, presenting an annual award for exemplary safety and environmental management by offshore oil industry operators. Those awards have for some reason been canceled. I can't imagine why. Maybe Dave Roberts can tell us. He is the staff writer, is a staff writer for Grist.org, focusing on politics, climate, and energy. He's contributed to or been featured in the New York Times, the Boston Globe, Fast Company, Huffington Post, Outside Magazine, and Wired. He has also appeared as a guest on the Fox Network's Hannity and Combs as well. As the, yeah, I hear you laughing, Dave, as well as the Weather Channel's weekly environmental news show, The Climate Code. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, Dave.
Hey, Brad, good to be here.
Great to have you here. By the way, just to let you know, we steal from you liberally for our Green News Report anytime that we can.
That's what it's for.
Thank you. Well done. Okay, well, why, oh, why, can you imagine, did you see this story about them canceling the BP safety award?
Yes, that would have been awkward.
Unbelievable. Okay, at this hour, we get news at the top of the hour a few minutes back that the oil has now reached the shore down in Louisiana. Is there any plan for this? Is this going to be as bad as it looks like it's going to be, Dave?
Well, if history is any guide, it's going to be worse than it looks. In almost all cases, these things turn out to be bigger. I mean, when they first come out with these estimates, there's always a bit of ass covering going on. There's always a bit of lowballing. And I think over the coming weeks and even months, we'll find out just how bad it is. Everybody's talking about the oil that's now on the surface drifting, you know, it's just hit the shore, which is a nightmare. But what fewer people are talking about is there's still oil dumping out into the ocean, and they don't know how to stop it. I mean, I'm surprised this hasn't gotten more of the coverage.
This is ongoing. At the rate of 5,000 barrels a day now, they had lowballed it, as you said. They announced late last night that it was five times worse than they thought it was. It's still going, and there was some talk. Have you heard this talk of a dome that they're talking about using?
About the huge dome. It sounds like a Dr. Evil plot, but that's literally one of two plans they have. One is construct a giant dome over the well and try to kind of funnel the oil upward where they can grab it.
Right.
And the other one is drilling little wells around the well to decrease the pressure and then try to squirt some mud in the well to stop it. But both those, as they sound, are incredibly uncertain, to say the least. And if those don't work, there's really no... I mean, this thing could go on for a month, 2 months. It could just be spewing oil into the Gulf Coast. For a month.
Don't forget Plan C, lighting the ocean on fire, Dave.
If that's right. As high as C, you know we're in trouble.
This is absolutely incredible. And I got to get to a break here at the bottom of the hour. And I got a lot to talk to you here about, Dave. You're right. It's like something out of a science fiction movie. They're lighting it on fire. They're putting domes over it.
Lasers. When are the lasers coming in? That's what I want to know.
Lasers. That's what we're missing. How come Obama hasn't thought of that? And, oh, by the way, how come Obama hasn't thought of any of this before he decided he was going to expand offshore drilling? We'll get that answer from Dave Roberts, and we'll get into what he smartly called the Graham Reed fluster cluck. And I've got to be very careful when I say that on the radio, Dave. Here, talking with Dave Roberts of Grist.org, the great environmental journalist, Brad Friedman, in for Mike Malloy. A whole lot more. Stick with us right after this.
You're going to love this. Just love it.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight.
Yeah, I do.
I got the feeling that something ain't right.
It certainly isn't.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair.
Not scared.
And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs.
Use the elevator.
Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
Stuck in the middle with you,
yes,
once again. No place I'd rather be. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com and of the Green News Report. In for Mike Malloy tonight. Speaking with Dave Roberts, the great environmental journalist. From grist.org, talking about all kinds of things. Certainly this oil spill. I want to get to this Lindsey Graham situation in a minute. And Dave Roberts called it, grumpy old men on the Graham Reed fluster cluck. Anybody who writes a headline like that needs to be read. So go check out Dave at grist.org or follow him on Twitter at drgrist, Dr. Grist. Okay, very quickly here, Lottie RJ in the chat room at the bradblog.com chat room tonight says, Brad, just use the Starship Enterprise to beam all the oil aboard. Tim from L.A. suggests we use HARP to clean the ocean. And, of course, the best solution of the night comes from Cosimo DiRondo, who says, with all of that oil in the Gulf, why haven't we invaded it yet? Good points. Dave Roberts, are we looking at, with this situation with BP, their award, their safety award from the U.S. government has for now been postponed or canceled? Not kidding. Are we looking at another Massey Energy situation as we had with the when we learned about West Virginia, the 29 coal miners and all the safety violations? Are we going to find a similar situation down there with BP and Transoceanic or whoever it was, this company who ran this rig down there?
Well, I think it's possible we'll find something like that. But I think the more important point to make is that even with extremely good safety procedures in place, you're just playing a percentage game. Even if you get it up to 98%, 99%, there's hundreds of these rigs around. And as we're seeing, it only takes one to make a catastrophe. So this is the consequence of the sort of gigantism that we favor in energy, that no matter how strict your safety policies are, somebody's going to slip up, something's going to happen, and when it does, the consequences of something like this are just catastrophic, and they wipe out the economic value of quite a bit of the oil you got.
Yeah, they sure do. I mean, and we're looking at and not just devastating environmental consequences, as we're now seeing as this oil moves ashore now down there in the Gulf, but 11 people who are dead from that. The 29 in that recent West Virginia coal mine. Now another two. Well, we know one is dead. The other, I don't know if he's missing or not, in Kentucky. Have you heard any late news on that? Kentucky
still missing, as far as the latest I've heard.
Yeah, and
seems like somebody's trying to tell us something.
Yeah, you know, you don't hear about solar panels blowing up and killing people very often, do you? Windmills falling.
Hear about birds and windmills.
Yeah,
as bad as it gets.
Yeah, it's about as bad as it gets. All right, now. I hate to even broach this topic, but I sort of already did. I played this clip from Rush Limbaugh. He's talking about SWAT team. Well, first, of course, he says the environmental wackos blew up the rig on Earth Day, and that's his scheme. But and we know it's nonsense, but he talked about SWAT teams. What the hell is he talking about? Do you have any idea? SWAT teams coming down to the Gulf for this?
Everything that man says confuses and dismays me, and this is no different. I have no idea.
No clue what he's talking about. Okay, good.
The liberals are at fault, though.
Yeah, well, of course it's the liberals. And speaking of those liberals, those darn liberals, Barack Obama, what is his, has the White House changed their position? Have they given any hints yet of changing their position on expanding offshore drilling in light of this unbelievable disaster down there?
No, as a matter of fact, today press secretary Robert Gibbs said we still think it's the appropriate policy, and we're still moving forward, and we still think most offshore drilling is safe. So you can tell the people of Louisiana they can take some comfort in the fact that most of those rigs are still floating.
Well, that's always good news. Okay, you're right today. Let's move on to the next flustercluck in the Senate. We were all poised as of last Monday. We were going to have this wonderful progressive climate, clean energy and climate change and clean energy bill from the U.S. Senate coming from Republicans, Lindsey Graham, independent, quote unquote, Joe Lieberman, and Democrat, quote unquote, John Kerry. It was going to be introduced Monday. All of a sudden, Lindsey Graham threw a hissy fit over the weekend. Tell us about that, why he did it, and where this goes from here. He said, we're not going to introduce it after all. Is that where we still are, Dave Roberts?
Yes, we're still at an impasse. What happened is that Harry Reid was having a political rally in Nevada, where he is facing, as I'm sure you know, a pretty stiff reelection race. He's mm-hmm. down in the polls right now, and he's fighting for his political life. And he's at a rally in Nevada and said, we're going to do immigration this year. We're not going to put it off. I think playing off this horrible Arizona bill that
yeah.
was passed in Arizona recently and whipping up Nevada's considerable Hispanic population, trying mm-hmm. to get out their votes. You know,
right.
the guy needs them to turn out. He desperately needs them to turn out. So then Graham hears this, and Graham had thought that immigration was, you know, he's crucially involved in both these, on both these, he's the only Republican
yeah.
involved. And so he's taking heat. He takes heat for both of them. So then he heard that Reid's going to put immigration first, and he made the political calculation, which I don't think is entirely crazy, that there's no way an immigration bill is going to pass. There's no bill, really,
right.
yet. It's right. just going to distract everybody, divide everybody, and by the time that mess is over, there will be no way climate can pass either. So it looked to Graham like Reid was sandbagging his chances to get this energy bill he'd been working on through, And he said, well, I'm not going to play that game. I'm taking my balls and going home.
And he canceled the press conference when they were going to unveil that legislation on Monday. Yeah. What, so was this, Dave, this was really based only on a Reid statement at a rally? That was,
well,
not...
No, I have it on pretty good authority that Graham showed Reid the letter before this letter that he released over the weekend, before he released it, and said, look, I'm going to, if you go forward with immigration, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to bail out of energy. And Reid didn't back down, and neither one of them. Reid has actually backed down a little bit since then. He said, fine, I'll do energy first. Energy is more mature. The bill's closer to being ready. I'll do that first, and then we'll do immigration. But now Graham has dug his feet in and said, no, if you do immigration at all this session of Congress, I'm not going to be involved in energy. So now basically it's this brinksmanship where if either one of them backs down now, they look weak and humiliated. And as far as I can tell, I mean, who knows what's going on behind the scenes, but Obama hasn't said word one about it publicly. And right now it's just an impasse. So. And you saw the Democrats whipped an immigration bill out of their back pocket today, out of nowhere. So clearly they are going forward with immigration. So at this point, it looks like things are – it looks like a slow-motion disaster. I don't know. It's possible things could be salvaged.
Well, and yeah, well, I wonder who's going to back down, Lindsey Graham or Harry Reid. Gosh, who's the who always backs down in these situations? I wonder who's going to –
You might think Reid backs down on principles, but one thing that no senator backs down on is their own raw political self-interest.
Mm-hmm.
And Reid has his life passing before his eyes right now. So
yeah, and
he'll be more stiff-spined than usual.
Yeah, right. And gosh, we'd hate to see Harry Reid go. That said,
this is one of the wonderful benefits of having a majority leader.
Yes.
From a red state.
Yes, good
so
thinking.
He always has to tack right. Anytime he gets in electoral trouble, his interests are constantly at odds with the party's interests. It was a dumb decision in the first place.
This is
the wages of that decision.
It was indeed, and we'll have to ask Majority Leader Franken about it perhaps in December. But the other point, speaking of political self-interest here, related here, is John McCain. And Lindsey Graham's very good buddy, John McCain, who's in this primary contest, running against teabagger J.D. Hayworth out in Arizona. That's what it really seems like to me. This really seems like Lindsey Graham going to bat for John McCain, trying to keep immigration off the calendar because, in fact, you know, McCain got burned by immigration in the past. They know he's going to get burned by it again. He's not going to be able to walk that tightrope. So Lindsey Graham, it really does. Am I online? Or I realize we're both sort of speculating here. But
well, no, that's one of the prevailing theories is that Graham is just protecting McCain from immigration. There's a lot of different things going on here. And also, this is what I always tell people when it comes to the Senate, you know, people have a tendency to want to project intentionality in these sort of grand schemes and 10-dimensional chess and all this stuff. But it's the Senate. You can never underestimate the effect of ignorance and pique in these matters. These guys have large, fragile egos, I think confusion generally plays a bigger role than people admit.
Well, yeah, but it just really seems he owes him one. You know, he owes him a lot, and I, you know, kind of wish that Lindsey Graham would just, come out of the closet and say as much. And let me just put it that way. I think that's what it's about. And we're going to talk about, we're going to take a quick break here and talk about whether or not we will actually get climate change legislation, no matter whether Lindsey Graham comes out of the closet or not. And if we get it this session, will it be worth getting? We're talking to Dave Roberts of grist.org. You want to check him out on a regular daily basis. He makes environmental news lots of fun. You're listening to Brad Friedman on the Mike Malloy Show. Stay with us.
Love is a burning thing.
and it makes a fiery ring.
There's an idea. Setting the oceans on fire. Keep it playing there, brother. Desire.
I fell into a ring of fire.
Yeah, no kidding. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy here. We're following the chat over at bradblog.com. We're speaking with Dave Roberts of grist.org, our last segment here. After next hour, we're going to be hanging with PBC. Peter B. Collins, our old friend, will be here in studio as we broadcast tonight from San Francisco for the first time. Delighted to be here up at Green 960. Okay, Dave Roberts, in the few minutes we have left here, Lindsey Graham, let's say he works this out with Harry Reid, and somehow they introduce this bill in the Senate for clean energy and climate change legislation. And does anybody know what is in this bill and if it will actually be worth introducing, much less passing?
Well, the basic framework has leaked, so people have a decent sense. But the last I've heard is there are crucial provisions that are still up in the air. I mean, even now,
mm-hmm.
I think they're still hashing out some provisions, which just doesn't really bode well.
Oh, but the fact that they haven't nailed it down yet.
Yeah, the fact that they still haven't gotten it nailed down. I mean, if you recall back in the House, Henry yeah. Waxman and Ed Markey built their climate bill over a period of months and months. It started before the 2008 election meeting
right.
with stakeholders and working out deals with legislators, and it was very painstaking work. And basically, Kerry Graham and Lieberman are trying to redo that work in a incredibly compressed time frame, and what they're discovering is that, yeah, it's actually hard, and maybe all that dumping they did on the House bill, I bet they wish they could take some of that back now.
Mm. Well, so we know it's not going to be, I mean, the House bill itself was greatly watered down as the, you know, you watch these Democrats negotiating with themselves. Do we have reason to believe that whatever comes out of the Senate will be more water, will it be stronger or weaker than the House bill?
It'll be weaker in some important ways. The central piece of it, the cap and trade piece, despite the fact that Graham likes to say this isn't cap and trade and Kerry likes to say this isn't cap and trade, it is in fact cap and trade. It's a cap and trade system that the electric utilities are under, then a few years later heavy manufacturing is brought under it, and then the oil companies pay what's called a linked fee, which is kind of like a tax, but it's attached to the price of the permits under the cap and trade system, so they're paying exactly as much as they would have if they were under the cap-and-trade system. As far as I can tell, the whole thing is a Rube Goldberg mechanism built so that Graham can say it's not a cap-and-trade system.
Which,
because of course, Republicans won't vote for a cap-and-trade
system. Well, Republicans won't vote for it, but they used to vote for it. You know, we passed cap-and-trade before. John McCain was in favor of cap-and-trade. This was, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Dave, but isn't cap-and-trade the... we'll use the word conservative now, the conservative alternative to the carbon tax? Isn't this the market-friendly, business-friendly thing, cap and trade?
Well, no, cap and trade was developed, I'd say, environmentalists working with conservatives, trying to get away from what they call command and control regulations, sort of just saying you plant have to cut by X amount.
Uh-huh.
The idea is to provide flexibility. And George Bush, the senior, signed a cap and trade system into law
right.
that governed SO2. So it's market-based, and, you know, insofar as Democrats have come to embrace all things market-based in the last couple of decades,
right.
I think it was bipartisan. It's been a bipartisan idea for a long time, but this is the Obama era, so, you know, with all that comes with it.
And there was absolutely no complaints when George Bush Sr. Implemented his cap-and-trade system. That was for,
There were complaints, and see if this sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Industry was forecasting economic doom. It was going to destroy the economy. It was going to drive jobs out of the country. The same think tanks were cranking out hysterical studies about how it would destroy everything. And it worked like a dream. It came in way, way under cost. The social benefits were hundreds of times the cost. And that's been true with every environmental regulation for 50 years now, every time.
Right.
Doom forecast beforehand.
Of course.
And it works fine afterwards.
Well, but
why we don't learn our lesson.
Industry complained about it, but the Republicans, the Tea Partiers out there, they weren't showing up and saying this is going to ruin, make us all slaves, were they?
No, it actually passed by, I think, something in the high 80s or early or low 90s in the Senate. It was one of the most bipartisan bills in the last, 20, 30 years.
I'm starting to think some of that denier stuff I'm hearing is propaganda. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. We got to get out at the top of the hour, but I know Desi Doyen, my co-host on the Green News Report, has a question that she demanded she get in.
No, it's not really that bad. It's just really quick. Dave already knows about this, and our listeners may not know that Ken Salazar, the Interior Secretary, approved the wind farm project for the offshore wind farm project for the Martha's Vineyard, with its, that Ted Kennedy was against, that whole thing called Cape Wind. Dave, I wanted to get your impression. Thumbs up, thumbs down. What's your quick take on that?
My thumb is tired from waiting for so long, but I think I can almost get it up now. I think this is going to kick off a big wave of offshore wind development, and we're going to like seeing those out in the water a lot more than we like seeing burning oil.
Is the burning oil down there going to have an effect, do you think, on the climate and energy legislation? Is this going to kickstart that, or is it?
After a few years doing this, I don't even like to predict what's going to penetrate the bubble of the U.S. Senate. It defies rational assessment.
We will follow your predictions as they happen and as you actually report them happening over at grist.org. Dave Roberts, delighted that you could join us here. I hope you'll join us again in the future if they allow me back here again in the future.
Anytime, Brad.
Thank you, brother. Dave Roberts, goodbye. Dave Roberts of grist.org, drgrist at Twitter, or as Desi likes to call him, Dr. Grist. You can check out him at grist.org, and it is well worth it. Okay, coming up, our old friend, Peter B. Collins, appears to be in the house. He's going to be joining us live here in studio. I was listening to the radio one day, and all of a sudden, there was no more Peter B. Collins. So I had to come up here to San Francisco to see if I could find him to make sure everything was okay. I have found him. He's got a long beard. He hasn't shaved. All of a sudden, he's grown hair on the top of his head. I don't know how that happened. But he's going to be joining us here in studio, hanging with Peter B. We're going to be taking your calls at 877-99-MALLOY on just about anything you want to talk about. 877-99-MALLOY. Brad in for Malloy, joined by PBC after this.